might remember 3 years ago, the boxing promoter Frank Maloney shocked the world of sport by revealing that he was undergoing surgery to become a woman and wanted to be called Kelly. Now, Kelly has spoken exclusively to us and says that transgender people aren't fully understood and are facing the same challenges as the gay community did 20 years ago. As the government reviews the law on changing gender, Kelly, who now runs a pub right here in Kent, in Marden, says that she thinks there's a need for what she calls an interview.
There should be some form of testing or some form of scrutinising, because it can be abused, the system can be abused. You know, I've heard of people abusing the system, for reasons...
Best names for themselves.
But, and, you know, we are a group of people that are still not quite understood, which is a shame, because there are some very talented people out there that have gone through the same process that I've gone through, and, you know, there are some people out there you would never know. I'm sure if I wasn't Frank Maloney, no one would have ever known.
No, you're right, yeah.
So they blend into the world and just exist. There are some who don't want to blend in. They want to stand there. That's, you know, everyone's different. But I do think the government, there should be a period that these people have to go through. There should be some form of, not test, maybe interview.
Psychological
tests, things like that. Because it is a big psychological step. As I said, because it's not only your life you're totally changing, you're altering the life of everyone that's been involved in your life before.
Now, the government proposals to make it easier, quicker and less intrusive have concerned some people, like Mary Douglas, who's a spokesperson for Grassroots Conservatives, and she spoke to the BBC last month about her worries.
My main reservation is that to change one's gender is a massive, massive thing. However you understand it and whatever you think of it, it is enormous. And the idea that we should make that easy and it should just be an administrative thing is really not a good idea. My understanding of the law is that the law is there to protect us, and that's normally from other people, but sometimes it's to protect us from ourselves.
So let's explore this a bit further now. Joining us is Kelly Tonks, former chair of Kent Trans Forum and currently an equality and diversity consultant. Also on the line, we've got Dermot O'Callaghan, director at the Core Issues Trust, who challenged gender confusion, upholding science and conscience. Welcome both to the show. Kelly, we'll start with you. Tell us your experience of transition. How easy, difficult was it for you at the time?
It was a long and complex process, if I'm absolutely honest. There were so many levels of bureaucracy. There were so many hoops that were required to pass through. There were a number of different points at which there were, you know, gatekeepers or NHS controllers that dictated whether you went or not. And so at any point in that process, there was the possibility that somebody else's decision could impact absolutely on the route that you took in life. It was complex.
I suppose the argument for that, as it were, was that it's a serious decision, it's one that you don't want to take lightly, and the quote that's always used is people don't want to be doing it on a whim.
Absolutely, but I think if you'll find you know, if you speak to trans people, if you have conversations with trans people, as you know, I have. The vast majority, this is not a whim. This is not something that they have woken up in the morning and thought, do you know what, I'm going to change my gender today. It's something that has been inherent and fundamentally with that person since birth. It's something that they maybe not be able to put a finger on. It's something that they have felt, you know, from their core, from
the very beginning. So what would you like to see change? I mean, I understand at the moment, you know, there are lots of hoops to jump through. Is it the medical hoops, you know, because you need a certificate from your doctor that you'd like to see come out of it? How would you like it shaped?
Well, basically, the talk in trans circles at the moment is very much around the demedicalisation of the process. And while personally, and this is a personal view, I feel that some kind of conversation to ensure that there isn't something else at play would be necessary or would be beneficial. It is still, you know, like I say, in Kent especially, it's very difficult because quite often the general practitioners locally don't really know what to do and where to send people. So it's then the trans person themselves that's directing the process. But at the moment, you have to have a second opinion from a psychiatrist. You then have to be referred to the Gender Identity Clinic in London, which is our closest. Mm-hmm. And from there on, you have to have an opinion from the gender specialist there before you can start hormone treatment. You then have to progress on and have a second opinion before surgery. That is all outside of the legal structure, which includes at the moment the Gender Recognition Act and the Gender Recognition Certification process. And that process leaves people such as myself who go through the legal process to change gender on a register that's held in, you know, in secure.
So there's so many hoops that you have to do. I want to bring in Dermot now from the Core Issues Trust. Thank you for joining us, Dermot. So where do you stand on this? Do you agree with Kelly that we need to strip this down and make it easier for people? Because it's obviously it's a very emotional and turbulent time anyway.
Yeah, I agree with Mary Douglas particularly, but I find myself agreeing with Kelly Maloney as well, that it has a huge impact on other people. I can empathise with Kelly Tonks too. So I think we have a lot in common. But, for example, if the thing is made too easy, tomorrow England are playing France at women's rugby, and the English team are a bit concerned that they may not be good enough. So if we allowed them to select their team on the basis of gender rather than on sex, we would have a team of 15 men appearing tomorrow.
Kelly, what would you say to that?
Well, that's a really strange place to start, Dermot. I'm sorry, but so you're suggesting that we, A, are not women? Is the inference that I'm getting from that? You know, so you're suggesting that if people are...
Well, first of all,
I'm still talking, actually, Dermot, sorry. So if people are selected to play rugby because of their gender status, you're suggesting that then, therefore, I'm not a woman, I think is my inference from that. So, but also, I mean, I don't really see your example there because it's almost as though you're suggesting that overnight we don't have a strong enough women's rugby team, so let's make some women and put them into the team. You know, you obviously don't really understand the process and how people work around it.
So.
What I'm trying to say is that if we make it too easy simply to alter your birth certificate, then you will have men altering their birth certificates to identify as women, and it'll be the end of women's sport.
Kelly, what would you say to that?
I'm just a little bit shocked. It's a very strange tack to take.
Dermot, you seem to be suggesting that people will do this just to achieve in sport.
It's already happening in America, yeah. There's a case in Colorado where a man is cleaning up in athletics in running events simply by identifying as a woman.
Surely, Dermot, you don't just identify as a woman. You have to transition, don't you?
Yeah, well, you see, this is what I'm saying, that my understanding is that Justine Greening wants it to be possible for people to alter their birth certificates without any medical approval. And that basically would enable anybody to identify as transgender.
It's not necessarily a medical issue. That's the whole thing. It's an identity issue, which essentially is a social construct. And as soon as you start to dismantle the social construct, then you start to understand that people's identity is inherently their understanding of themselves. It's not your understanding of them. It's their understanding of themselves. And so as soon as you start to accept that and start to understand that that is the situation, I mean, we look at the fact that, yes, you know, medicine assists in the process, but in terms of gender identity, gender reassignment surgery, for instance, has a something like 96-97% success rate, I believe, in terms of, well, in terms of people feeling satisfied and complete and understanding themselves post-surgery. There are not many medical processes that are that successful. So,
there's a huge increase in suicide attempts amongst people who have gone through surgery and have regretted it.
Yeah, absolutely. But why is that? Why is that regret there? And I noticed from your website that you're an advocate for conversion therapy, for instance.
I think that the reason why people regret what they've done is because they've addressed the wrong problem. All of us have a body and all of us have a mind. And if you take, for example, a man's body, you can put him through all the tests and MRI scanner and everything else, and he's 100% man. But if his mind feels that he's a woman, there's a disconnect. Now, if the body is altered surgically to try to fit in with the mind, the real problem is not being addressed. The real problem is in the mind.